Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Confession time. I love my hair, but I don't love how long it takes to do it. I'm a type 4 natural, and not gonna lie, when it's time to redo my wash and go because it's frizzy or dried out, it drives me nuts. In a perfect world, I could be using that time to do something fun like getting a massage or going to brunch or something. I know you get it because we are all too busy to be frizzy. I'm glad that Way understands this and created their new anti-frizz cream at just the right time. It's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. Way anti-frizz cream fits seamlessly into the mix of products I use to do my wash and goes and twist outs, giving me smoother and intensely hydrated feeling hair. I also love that I only need to use a little to see a big difference, plus it smells really, really good. Frizz free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code SELFCARE for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code SELFCARE. Hey, hey, what's going on, Sister Ann? You are listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Thank you so much for pressing play on this episode. My name is Bree, and I am the host of the show as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care, a site and podcast committed to the wellness and self-care of Black women. So on this show, I and sometimes guests talk about any and everything relevant to our self-care and to us not only surviving but also thriving in a world that centers the wellness of whites. So, happy Monday. We had the 4th of July holiday on Sunday or over the weekend, and I don't necessarily celebrate it, but it's a day of barbecue and being outside and all that good stuff. So, hopefully you had a good weekend. I want to go ahead and get into this episode where I will be talking about anxiety and my experience with anxiety and panic attacks, as well as I'll be sharing a grounding exercise that I do religiously when I have or kind of go into this panic mode, and it's the 5-4-3-2-1 exercise, which you may or may not already be familiar with, but I want to talk about that. But before I do, I want to make sure that I shout out, in case you're not aware, I am planning an event for Black women. It's called a Day of Collective Rest for Black Women. And so far, we've had over 800 women sign up saying, yes, I am on board. I am going to be taking this day off in honor of my wellness, in honor of my self-care. So if you'd like to go ahead and join us, make sure that you go to www.browngirlselfcare.com/rest to get more details on that and to sign up for that, okay? And that actually is going to be at the end of August. I don't think I mentioned that before. So, all right, let's go ahead and get into this episode. So, I'm going to be completely transparent with you and just let you know about my experience, because I think we need to be able to have more conversations. I want to add my voice to the conversation of like anxiety and panic and stress and all that, so that if anyone out there also, you know, deals with that, you don't feel like it's just you, or like, you know,
I don't know. I just don't want anyone that listens to this to think that, like, if you're dealing with things like depression or stress, like I said, or anxiety, like, it's just you or no one else can, like, relate. Let me tell you, I can definitely relate. Okay, so that's what I'm going to be talking about today. And so I guess I can just kind of give you a little bit of backstory. But what I want to say about anxiety for me is, like, so in case you are just wondering, like, what the heck, what happens in anxiety? For me, it's like your body kind of goes into this fight, flight, or freeze mode when you feel threatened. And this isn't good because, you know, for Black women especially, when your body goes into, like, fight or flight or freeze mode, it's like these hormones are dumped into your body so that you can, like, if you sense, like, a threat, like, for example, if someone is, imagine yourself, it's dark night, you just left the club. That isn't me because my knees are way too low to be in anybody's club. But back in the day, I would go to the club, okay? But just imagine you just left the club. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. You got to walk to your car. And for whatever reason, I don't know, you parked somewhere where it's really dark. You're by yourself. And you might hear someone walking behind you. And so your reaction is your body gets flooded with this energy or these hormones that will help you to react quickly if you need to. You're on alert. You know, your heart might start beating faster, your breathing might start getting heavier, or you're breathing faster. And that's because your body needs a way to, like, if you need to get the heck out of Dodge and just book it really fast or fight for your life or anything, your body just kind of goes into this mode where you're just like, you're primed and ready, you know? And this is great if there are actual threats, you know, where you really need to you know, be down to handle your business at any moment, you know what I mean? But the problem is that, like, for me and a lot of Black women, this is not just a every once in a while kind of, I guess, feeling. And the problem was that is that when your body kind of stays in that energy or in that space, that's where you can start, you know, having really serious problems like heart disease and inflammation, obesity, stroke, like things that we do, we don't want any of that, okay? We don't want any of that, but that's kind of what happens. So this feeling of anxiety, like, it would happen to me, like, a lot, especially in the past. Like, before I really, really got into honoring my self-care, honoring my self-worth, taking more care of my body and hitting that pause button and doing all these things, like, it would happen to me quite a bit in the past. And I'm talking like 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And I remember one of the first times I experienced this. And for you, the sensation might be different. You know what I'm saying? But this is just my experience, just to kind of give you an idea of what I was up against. So, like, again, 5-10 years ago, when my anxiety was high, and it's crazy because have you ever experienced where you don't think that your anxiety is high, but it really is high, but you're not really aware of it? Like, that would be me. I think in the back of my mind, I would just be processing so much information and so many experiences that I really wasn't mindful of it, if that makes sense. But my body was mindful of it. My body was on alert. My mind was on alert, but I wasn't aware of it, if that makes any sense. But in any case, for me, there was this thing that I would feel like in the center of my chest. It's kind of hard to describe, but I can tell you, number one, it was very painful. It was just like this in the center of my chest, very painful. That's the only way I can really describe it. I can't really put a name to how else it felt, but it really hurt, like hurt, right? So much so that after it happened a few times, I actually ended up going to the doctor. But again, this was like this painful feeling in the center of my chest. I was at work, and actually, if I could describe it another way, I guess another word that I will put to it is kind of like this burning or this searing pain. That's the only way I can really describe it. But initially, I didn't know what the heck was going on. You know what I mean? I didn't know what the heck was going on. But I was at work at the time. And, you know, come to find out after it happened a few times, because I knew it wasn't a heart attack, but I was just like, why does this keep happening? What is going on? And I went to the doctor. And, you know, they hook you up and you do like that heart stress test and other things. And all of that was fine. All of my, like the blood work and all that stuff would come back fine. But, at some point during that 5 to 10 year experience of going through this, I did have, I don't recall what the procedure's called where they put a tube like down into your stomach and look around in there, but I had that procedure done. And the doctor at that point determined that I had like gastritis, which I don't even know if that was in combination with this heart pain, but that hurt too. Okay. Like that, just that searing pain in your stomach. And I was told like I couldn't like have like a lot of tomatoes and caffeine and stuff like that. But more importantly, he also told me that if I didn't get my stress under control, then I would be looking at ulcers developing in my body. And that is definitely not something that I wanted. But, you know, also going back to that pain in my chest, another thing that I would say that I noticed is that sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes it would be kind of hard for me to breathe, like get a full breath, just to do that motion, like with your, I guess your lungs or your rib cage or what have you, that would hurt as well. So they did the procedure and he kind of came back with that. And I guess I struggle with that a little bit because on the outside or just me outside looking in, I'm just like, you know, stress, you know what I mean? Like this is my everyday life. I'm handling life. You know what I mean? But when I really broke it down and thought about it and got real with it, it was just like, okay, you know, you're a single mom, you're struggling with bills, you're trying to do everything, or you really don't have a strong support system. So more or less, you're kind of doing everything on your own. At the time, you're working in an environment that really wasn't a good match for you. It wasn't like a good match for my temperament. I wasn't like eating as well as I could have or taking care of my body and getting good sleep and things like that. I was dealing with chronic issues like fibroids and super heavy periods. That's probably an episode for another day. But then on top of that, like anemia and the mental weight of that. And then a lot of negative self-talk, self-esteem issues, depression. So all that. And then, of course, honestly, just my experiences as a Black woman in a world that centers and caters to white wellness, like just all that stuff, like the just dealing with racism and oppression and seeing stuff in the news that where Black people were affected by something, or I mean just all of that. Okay, so when I thought about it, it was just like, oh yeah, I guess that's a lot, you know what I'm saying? So I can see now. Again, I didn't really see it at the time, but just as I kind of processed things and worked through some pain and started my healing process and things like that, I can see why my body and spirit and mind would feel like I was under attack or just feeling like that, the weight of like that pressure or feeling threatened on some level. So it makes complete sense. So yeah, I would get this pain in my chest, and I'm talking like off and on for some time. Oh, you know what? Now that I think about it, also another thing that would happen sometimes when I would get this pain, I would feel like this squeezing of, I don't even know what, not in my stomach, like kind of near my lungs or in between like my stomach and like my heart. I don't even know what muscle is there, but there's got to be some kind of muscle there. I should have looked this up, but this thought just came to me. But sometimes I would get like this painful squeezing sensation in a muscle in between like my stomach area and my heart area. I don't know what that muscle is, but I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that now because I just thought about it. But So finally, me having those sensations, because sometimes I would have this and it would keep me up for hours where I couldn't even sleep because it would be so painful. And finally, after going through that for a long time, I don't really have those type of panic attacks or attacks brought on by anxiety anymore. Haven't really had them. I think I've had that experience maybe a handful of times in the last few years. So it's not something that I deal with often. And I credit that to, you know, really getting serious about my self-care and really activating my faith, like doing all the things, child, all the things that I could think to do for my personal, like what was going to help me get to a really good base level of self-care and wellness. That is what I, you know, when I started really taking that seriously, that's when it was reduced. And so why I'm talking about this is because, you know, I experienced it again, very, very briefly. And I said, you know what, this is something I need to talk about on the podcast, because I know it's not just me that deals with anxiety. I know it's not just me that has like panic attacks or things like that. So now, what brought this on? All right. So again, I hadn't really experienced it for a while, but, and I know this is like anxiety, like I can definitely say with no uncertainty that this is anxiety, is because recently, like in the last, maybe like in the last week or two, let's say last couple of weeks, I made a really big decision, and excuse my French, but I'm going to cuss here. This decision that I made, I was scared shitless. All right. I'm sorry. I got to keep it real. Like, this is how severe this decision was. Like, I was scared shitless. All right. With this big decision that I made, and without really going into too many specifics, because it is a bit personal, but I will say that it was a financial decision, and one that is life-changing as an entrepreneur and being able to run Brown Girl Self-Care. And, you know, for me, like, money is my, I don't know if I want to say kryptonite, I don't know, but money, like my mindset with money has definitely evolved and changed in the last few years, like from where I was with my money mindset to where I am now. Like, but even still, like, and I know that my money mindset has changed, because I in fact did make this big decision, and but I was scared, girl. I was scared to do it, but I went on ahead and did it anyway. So but when I made that decision that I made a couple of weeks ago, I thought that all was well. But then when it was like time to get started with this decision that I made, like, I had that panic attack. I didn't have it when I put my credit card down. Because I felt confident, and I felt like in my spirit, like this was a good decision to make, even though it was like a big decision and it was scary. But then when it was time to get started, like a week later or whatnot, I felt that dread creeping in and that doubt creeping in and that mindset creeping in that was saying, girl, what have you done? You made a huge mistake. What made you think that you could do this? Why did you put yourself out there when you know what your situation is? Why are you doing this? And like all these, like, it was just like my internal chatter was just like, girl, like, you know, that song that goes, oh no. Oh no, I hate that song. I don't know what the name of that song is, but this is one of the reasons why I don't like TikTok or Instagram. Like, I can't be on there too much watching videos, because everybody uses that damn song and I hate it. Whatever the name of that song is, I hate it. But that was basically like my mind just started spiraling, like, Molly, you in danger, girl. What is you done? What is you done? That was what my mind was saying with this decision. But, and you know, it's like, I was ruminating on this decision, and I'm a big ruminator. And that's one of the things that I have really tried to not do, because when I ruminate on decisions, And there's some things I've done in the past that I kick myself in the ass for today. Like, I kick myself in the butt for today. But when those kind of feelings come up, like, I can't go back in the past and change what I've done. I can't go back and change decisions that I've made. So when those feelings come up, I just acknowledge them. And then in those moments, I allow myself, like, more grace and love and give myself, like, kindness and kind words. And just remind myself, like, girl, everything is gonna be fine. You are fine. All is well. You good. You know what I'm saying? And that helps me kind of get to a place. But back to that big decision. So, you know, I started spiraling. And then, of course, you know, hello, darkness, my old friend. Here came that painful feeling in the center of my chest. And I was like, mm-mm. Because honestly, the longest I've gone with feeling that experience would probably be, I would say, maybe like 10 to 12 hours, like half a day. And obviously, I don't want to be in that space. I don't want to be in that space because not only is it painful, but it's not good for my body to be in that space. It's like, I feel like, honestly, now that I'm kind of talking this out and thinking about it, I wonder if it's like some type of, it's like that pent up feeling or energy or something just like needs to be dissipated. It needs to be released. I don't even know if that makes sense, but that's kind of like my body's like signaling, you know, you are on high alert and this flooding of this energy, it needs to, you know, be addressed and released.
Black representation in media matters. When we see people that look like us or share our experiences, it provides a sense of community, validation, and belonging while also resisting the narrative that we must remain silent and invisible. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR, where you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, and empowerment. One episode that I really enjoyed was titled, In Serena Williams, A Generation of Black Players Saw a Legend Who Looked Like Me. The way they wove the episode together with interviews, storytelling, and music kept my interest because it felt more like a documentary than a typical news piece. This is what it feels like to me to have our stories centered. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp, and I am so thankful for that, y'all, because healing is a whole process. How can we be okay with setting boundaries, inviting more joy and rest into our lives, or loving ourselves more if we've never been shown how to do so? Encouragement and tools from podcasts like this one is definitely one way, but sometimes we need more resources, and that's okay. You have permission to get what you need, how you need it, so that you can go from struggling to thriving. This is why I strongly believe in therapy. Listen, we all have a story. Mine includes stress, major trauma, and depression, and therapy helped me live a better life. Your story may be a complete 180 of mine, and in case you're wondering, yes, girl, therapy is still for you too. Everyone can benefit from therapy. If you've been on the fence about therapy, I want to encourage you to give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp is designed to be convenient and flexible, which means it's all online with availability that meets your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/BGselfcare today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/BGselfcare.
And so that's why I want to talk to you about this 5-4-3-2-1 grounding exercise, because I have this in my, I guess, back pocket as a tool that I use and have been using. And it works, at least for when I have like anxiety or panic attacks. This mug works. Okay, so if you're not using this technique, I highly recommend that you give it a shot when you have like a panic attack and see how it works for you. And so what I like about this is that it it helps to bring me, or it helps to kind of like bring me or keep me in like the present. I think a part of why I have these attacks, if you will, or these issues is because even though I guess I'm not really mindful of it, my mind is like subconsciously, I guess, racing with thoughts of like, this is a mistake, this can go wrong, this is going to go wrong, this is not going to work, you're going to be in, you know, all these quote unquote, like danger, red flag kind of things. You know what I mean? Even though that's not necessarily the case, you know, but I guess sometimes it's like my default. And so I like doing this exercise because it forces me to get into reality, get into the present, pay attention to myself, pay attention to what is going on right at this moment. And when you are in the present and you're paying attention to what's going on in the moment, it's kind of hard to be in a place of worry. When you're present, you can't necessarily, like, if I'm intent on doing this exercise and staying in this moment, at least during that time, I'm not in a place of worry. I'm not in a place of stress. I'm not in a place of, you know, alert, if you will. And that helps me to bring the anxiety down. And when the anxiety goes down, kind of like that sense of panic and that panic attack, it you know, it disappears. And then that pain, it goes away. Honestly, it goes away. And it's amazing. So let me tell you how to do this 5-4-3-2-1 technique. I did Google to see if I could figure out who came up with this. I know that a lot of therapists use it, but I can't really give credit to anyone because I couldn't find out where this technique necessarily originated from. But with that said, so 5-4-3-2-1, very simple, very quick. You can do it for however long you need to do it. But usually for me, it takes maybe about 5 minutes, I would say. And again, after those 5 minutes, everything is like de-escalated. And I feel really centered and really good and able to, you know, take a beat and then keep going. So you're like, well, what the hell are the 5-4-3-2-1? What is it? In case you're not aware. So really, you're going to focus on 5 things that you can see, 4 things that you can touch, 3 things that you can hear, 2 things that you can smell, and 1 thing that you can taste. All right. So it's really getting everything involved, your senses, your body, like everything is involved. And that is what helps you to get grounded. That is what helps you to get into the present. And when you're in the present, there's no space to be ruminating. Okay. So 5 things you can see. I mean, everything is straightforward. This is not rocket science. All right. But I'll just kind of walk you through how I do it. So again, 5 things you can see. Typically it's just 5 things that you can see and you identify them and you name them. Okay. I can see my robe with the pink and green flowers on it. I can see my fan, moving. I can see the black pillows on the floor. I can see my snake plant in the corner. So you're identifying, you're taking a beat and identifying 5 things that you can see. Now, what I do is I tweak this a little bit because for me, that's kind of easy. So sometimes what I will do is 5 things of a certain, for example, color. So like the last time that I did this, which was just like a week ago, I did 5 things that are black. And so I was like, okay, boom. And then I have to search for 5 things that are black. So like my fan, I see my fan, it is black. My handbag is black. The pillows on the floor, they are black. My little nightstand is black. My hair bonnet that is hanging on the door is black. Okay, pretty much my theme, if you've ever seen me in person, pretty much everything about me is black. Car, I usually wear like black t-shirts, like black yoga pants, like almost everything about me is quote unquote so black. But so I have a lot of black things in my room. But you can do anything. You can do it by color, that helps you. You can do it by shape, like how many square things do I see in this space? Oh, that picture frame is square shaped. That box is square shaped, that whiteboard is square shaped, that window is square shaped, you know what I'm saying? Or do round. Look, you do whatever makes sense for you. But again, five things that you can physically see. And then for four things that you can touch. So like I'll touch my skin with my hands and I know this sounds kind of creepy, but and that's why I'm laughing, but four things that I can touch. One thing I always touch is my skin. I'll put my hand on my arm and I will just feel that sensation of rubbing my hand on my arm. Something else, you know, the weight of my body in the chair that I'm sitting in, that's something that I can feel. My feet on the ground and the carpet underneath my toes, that's something that I can feel. The fan that is blowing cold air against my skin, that's something that I can feel. So again, four things that you can touch or feel. Touch and or feel. The three things that you can hear. So I usually will close my eyes. Actually, I close my eyes sometimes during the touch portion, depending on what I'm feeling. But I definitely close my eyes for the three things that I can hear, and also for the next thing as well. But three things that you can hear. Close my eyes and I just listen. And this is the one that really, really helps me to connect, because I have to be intentionally still so that I can hear. Okay? I have to be intentionally still so that I can really open up my ears and hear. And so I'll identify three things I can hear. It could be my daughter playing Call of Duty and cussing people out in the next room, child. I don't know what she'd be doing in there on that Call of Duty game. It can be the sound of the fan whirring. It can be, you know how you have those smoke detectors and you ain't changed that damn battery so it beeps? I haven't done that in a very long time, but if that were me, that would be something that I could acknowledge. It could be the birds outside chirping. It could be the crickets outside. It could be traffic driving by. It could be an airplane flying overhead. It can be just the moments of quiet that you hear while you're waiting. You know what I'm saying? And that's, I think that one out of all five of these is my favorite, because I really have to focus, because sometimes there's not a lot of noise going on. And so I might have to sit with that for a few minutes before I even hear another sound that I would like to acknowledge. And so I think that one for me is my favorite out of the five. All right. So then the two things you can smell, again, very straightforward. A lot of times I will smell myself. Because, you know, after your shower or, you know, when you're smelling good, here's a little plug. I like to smell myself because I usually will put something on that I'm not into, like, heavy scents. But, for example, I take my shower. Right now, I am just loving the Rain Bath. This is not a plug. I'm just telling you what I use. I use the Neutrogena Rain Bath in the shower. And then when I come out of the shower, I will put on the Neutrogena, the sesame body oil on my damp skin. So sometimes I can still smell that a little bit depending on, you know, whatever. And then right now I am loving the Carol's Daughter. I think it's called Almond Cookie something or other. Almond Cookie. I don't know what it's called, but they have a perfume. And like today I'm wearing that. And so I usually I smell something on myself that I like. And so I'll stick my nose into my shirt and just give myself a good whiff. And that helps to ground me. And then, you know, something else that I can smell. I'll try to notice what else I can smell. Is it the candle that I'm burning? Is it the coffee that's next to me? What else? I'm trying to think of other things that I can smell. But things like that, all right? Things like that. Maybe you have a diffuser going, so you smell that. Or, I don't know, maybe there's, depending on where you are, you can smell someone else's perfume, or you can smell like someone's food or someone making cookies or whatever, all right? And then lastly, something you can taste. So is it your water? Is it your cup of coffee? Is it you just brush your teeth and you can feel kind of like the minty freshness of that? Is it the bubble? Is it the gum in your mouth? Like, what can you taste? You know, maybe you take a bite of a cookie and you can just taste that ooey goodness of that chocolate chip or whatever, just kind of melting into your mouth. But yeah, one thing that you can taste. So again, they are 5 things you can see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things you can hear, 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste. And I can tell you right now, because I'm not a perfectionist, sometimes I will do, I'll get it mixed up. And so it might look like 4 things that I can hear and 3 things that I can touch, but who cares? Who cares, honestly? That's not the point. So if you feel like, oh no, I don't know exactly what these things are, it like how many of each I should do, child, that does not matter. Go with whatever order makes sense for you. But for me, this exercise is so centering and so grounding that when I complete it, I promise you, I feel like a new woman. I feel like a new woman. I don't rush the process. It takes the time that it takes. So usually for me, about 5 minutes or so, sometimes a little bit longer, depending on how I feel. And like I told you, sometimes being able to hear something takes a little bit longer. And I really just resonate and sit with that one. But yeah, it's like night and day. And that sensation that I have in my chest, like everything is just like relaxed. I feel better. I can breathe easier. It doesn't feel so tight. But anytime I feel like that feeling creeping up, or anytime, because sometimes my panic attack does look a little different. It isn't always with that feeling in the center of my chest, but I can tell like my thoughts are spiraling, or my breathing is like, it's hard for me, or a little hard for me to breathe. I'm just starting to feel very frantic. Then I know that if I do this grounding exercise, it will help me to slow down my breathing, slow down my heartbeat, and center myself. And when I'm done with this exercise, like I said before, I just feel so much better. I feel so much better. So I wanted to share that with you, because I know I'm not the only one out there that, you know, has suffered from anxiety, has suffered from panic attacks. And it works for me. So I want you to put that into your toolkit, because I promise you, it helps. It definitely helps. All right. So, yeah, that is it. I wanted to just kind of talk to you about my experiences with anxiety, and again, the 5-4-3-2-1 technique. If you've ever done this, I would love to hear from you, and let me know your thoughts on how that works for you. And also, before you go, I want to make sure that I mention again that I would love for you to center yourself with me at the end of August for this Day of Collective Rest. So make sure that you go to browngirlselfcare.com/rest and check that out. I've heard from many of you, and a lot of you are saying, girl, I've already requested the time for vacation. I love it. And so maybe that's something that you want to do too, because I'm definitely not working on that day. But more to come on that. I'm building all of that out as we speak, and I'm very excited about it. Number 2, also, if you are listening to the show and you are picking up what I'm laying down, make sure that you, subscribe to the podcast. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, I would love it if you left a 5-star review and left a comment. That helps me to get the show out to more people. And then also, if you're really, really digging the content of this show, I would love for you to go ahead and share this episode with a friend. All right? All right, bet. So that is it for this week's episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Thank you again so much for listening. I hope that you have a blessed week. I know you're going to have a blessed week. We already know your week is going to be blessed, but I hope that you have an amazing week, and I will see you on the next episode of the show. Take care.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced. From the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support, the new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, Super Beats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to radiobeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's radiobeats.com, code DEAL.